Yeah, I can hear myself. I thank God for this day. At the beginning of the week, I was a bit poorly, but I'm fully recovered. I thank God. Would like to introduce to you my friend. His name is Charles. It has been 6 months since he's here in this country. He's from Congo, and for many years there he has been serving the Lord. Amen. Charles, we welcome you in our family. Yes, and at the front row here is my pastor and his wife. You'll get the opportunity to talk to everybody after the service. So feel at home, feel welcome, and we love you and we bless you. Amen. I was searching in my heart and being God's presence to get the appropriate message to bring today. And by God's grace, He laid something in my heart that I would like faithfully to present to all of us. And I believe deep inside that the Lord, He will bless us. He will meet each and every one of us where we are and take us to a higher level. Amen. To God be the glory. Pastor Charles, can you have the honor to pray for the message? I'm going to interpret you. He's still learning English. Yeah. Okay, si tu peux prier pour le message, je vais t'interpréter. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you because you love us. You are keeping us. And always you give us things that we were even not expecting. Thank you because you have allowed us to reach this day. Now, as we are in your presence, and your words will be proclaimed, I'm asking you, O Lord, to teach us again, for your word to purify us, comfort us in this journey toward heaven. May your word today answer each and everyone's questions. We need your presence. And we are here to listen to your voice. Give us a heart to keep your word. We pray you, O Lord, for those who have not had the chance to be here, may your grace be upon them where they are. Give them peace. And give us the grace to see you one day. We pray like that in the name of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, the message today is not something new. It's very simple that we heard over and over, but it has power in it. And I believe that this power, as we are ready to receive and to be moved where the Lord is moving us, will do something new and change us. I don't know, Philip, is he the right connection? Is it? Sometimes if you put in the hotspot, is it there? Oh, yeah. Well, when we rely on the Lord Himself, there is no mistake in the Lord, there is no fault, but things made by human hands, yeah, always. They can deceive us. Praise God, praise God. Well, as you can see the first slide there, to be the Lord's imitators. This is something that Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. It's a short verse, very simple, but it has power in it. Amen. I was reading it over and over, trying to understand what really Apostle Paul meant, urging us to be his imitators, to imitate him. He didn't say, hear just what I'm saying, but don't do what I'm doing. But he urged people to look at what he's doing and to do the same. To imitate him. Not only to listen to what he's saying and do different things compared to what he's doing. Same as Jesus stood among people and said, who among you can accuse me of sin? You need boldness to make such a declaration. If you know that people can reproach your lifestyle with many things, you won't stand, you won't dare have the God to stand in front of them and say, who among you can accuse me of something, of wrongdoing? You won't have the courage to stand in front of people who can point in you things that you're doing, evil deeds, and say, be my imitators. Imitate me. Do just what I'm doing. Well, we know where the name Christians came from. People saw the followers of Jesus, the way they were living, the kind of lifestyle they had, they could see in them Jesus himself. And they pointed at them saying, these are Christians. Their lifestyle is not different from the lifestyle of the master they are serving. The person they are proclaiming. We can see Jesus in them. I remember the day I came to my pastor and I told him, I want you to be my mentor. He asked me, I don't have a huge congregation. And I said, it's not that interests me. I have observed you and I've seen something that I need in you. That kind of Christian-like life that is in you. And you have experience in the ministry. and I need to be accountable to someone. Of course, I have some friends with mega churches. I could pick one of them to be my mentor. But after observing, knowing where I'm heading to and what I need, the kind of man of God I want to be in 10, 15, 20, 50 years to come, I came to him, I say, I need that kind of Christ character that I can see and point in you. I need it in my life. Because with that, I can go strong and grow strong in the ministry. Success can destroy someone. Money can destroy someone. When people are looking at you, oh, Pastor Dama, oh, fantastic, brilliant, this and that. If you are not accountable to someone, or you have not been mentored by someone who have been there, who have been through all those kind of things, overcome and still standing firm in the Lord, then you are in trouble. You don't have a role model. You can do things even without bad intentions, but you put yourself in trouble. So, wherever you are, either here in church or at work, in the family, people are observing. People are judging. People are making assessment of your lifestyle. Do people come to you and say, I've seen something in you? Like I came to my pastor and said, I've seen something spiritual, powerful in you. I need it. Because I know, along the line, the years to come, it's going to help me to remain humble. To remain human. Because men of God, we can reach that point where success is there, money is there, everything is there. You think that you are the Messiah now. For people to approach you, they need a long protocol. That is not in my pastor, and I need it. He's a bishop, but down to earth. Teaching, leading by the lifestyle. In French, we have a saying, I assume that is in English as well, that actions speak louder than words. What are you portraying in your life that can speak louder than verses you can recite to people? Is the church today representing fully Jesus Christ? Because the world is dying. People are searching for role model. No wonder why today young people are looking at celebrities. Because as a church we are not maybe managing to present them a role model that they have to follow. So each and everyone is searching all around. They want to be connected to spirituality, and witchcraft is gaining a ground again. Because people are searching for something spiritual. And what we have, it's so powerful, but we have to portray it in our lifestyle. Imitate me just I also imitate Christ. How Apostle Paul was imitating Christ? And in what do we have to imitate him. In his style of preaching, the missionary voyages he was doing all across Asia and everywhere, in making tents, do we have to imitate him in the way he was healing the sick or rebuking the wrongdoers? You who are married, do you have to divorce your partner and live a celibacy lifestyle that Apostle Paul had? Or those who are not married here, do you have to remain in celibacy for you to be the imitator of Apostle Paul? I don't think so. It's not all these things that he's asking us to look at him and search in him and start imitating him. No, it's not all these things. The Bible is interpreting by itself. Here, we see what in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 to 23, what the Bible is saying. It's all about winning and saving people. The passion that Apostle Paul had to win the lost, to save the lost. Here the Bible says in verse 19, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, that I might win them all. And to the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as myself, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. And I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it." Praise the Lord. Here where Apostle Paul heart, passion was, and the compassion could be seen in the actions that he was taking time to time. From the time he came to the Lord, he accepted the calling to follow the Lord. And he says that, "I have become everything to everybody with the aim of winning them." Is not what this 21st century is presenting to us. No. Many are very far from this place where Paul was to make himself as, to present himself as a slave to all. Not searching for what they have, as always we hear here, Grace saying that we came not to receive, but to give. But the culture today is not about to give, is to receive. Give me, give me. I want this, I want that. If only you can hear prayers of many Christians, few people adore and worship the Lord. But many are asking, "Lord, I want you to do this for me. Lord, I want you to give me this, I want you to give me this and this and that." Forgetting that If only we worship him with all our heart. All the rest, materials, all our needs will be met. If only we care to worship the Lord, to please him in what he's asking us to do, he will take care of our needs. Of course, as I said it here before, we are not exempt from seasons. We'll have to pass through different seasons. Even when we are crossing that valley of dryness, financially things are not in place, in the family things are falling down, he still cares. And he's watching over us. Amen. One thing is certain. He will pull us out of the situation we are in. He will comfort us. Maybe you are here facing such difficulties that you can't take them anymore. You can't handle them anymore. You are not any longer in charge. They are there, facing you. Man wants to be always in charge. We want always to control situations. But the circumstances that are coming in your life, one after another, you're no longer in charge. And our pastor said it the other day, that he screamed saying, Lord, where are you? Maybe you are screaming when you are alone in your room, in your house. Lord, where are you? Are you really seeing my pain? Are you really seeing my tears? Are you really concerned? He is. He is. He's the master of time and circumstances. Rest assured that all the prayers sent are bringing before the Lord for you, and all your own prayers, the Lord heard them, and he will surely answer them in one way or another. Be patient, continue to press on, remain faithful to him. He will answer all those prayers and comfort you. Now here Paul, he's making himself everything to everyone in order to serve them, to win them to the Lord. And he's asking us, he's calling us to come, to partner with him in this good work, to act like him, to have the same desire, to have the same passion of winning the lost. How many people in your family are saved? How many people in our families left this world without giving their lives to the Lord? Is there anything we can do to win them to the Lord? To serve them. Here, I love it. In verse 20, he's saying, and to the Jews, I became as a Jew. Even if you are not a Jew, but aiming to serve the Jews, you have to learn their culture, to learn how the message of salvation can be passed to them and be received by them. The Lord has places here, I think it's just for a short period, because very soon we'll be moving to our own building. Maybe it's in the neighborhood here or where, I don't know. But wherever we are, let's say here in Doncaster, we have a zook of nationalities and races. We have a mixture of cultures. And our task is to win those who still lost among the people who are in the city where we are. Our task is not only towards our family members, but is towards everybody. But we have to take in consideration the kind of life those people are living. You won't go in a housing estate where people are struggling financially, socially, and everything, and you go there with a message of prosperity. No, you're insulting them. You're insulting them. It's not what will help them to see Jesus, to desire Jesus, and to follow Jesus. You have to identify yourself to them people. But starting to be like them, not in wrongdoing, but to be able to sit with them and speak the same language with them. To speak the language of love with them. But if you are up there and they are there, there is no connection. The communication will not be established. And if we are waiting for them to leave where they are and follow us here in the church building, that will not happen. It won't happen. We have to follow them where they are, identify ourselves to them so that they can relate to us. Me and Pastor Charles, we took this Muslim girl from Congo to the lawyer. We've been helping her. She has been through a lot, and her case still hanging at the immigration. So the small role we played as Christians, although we know that she's a Muslim, finally she came out of her silence and said, "In my entire life, I never met people like you guys." And straight at all, Pastor Charles said, "We're getting there. She's not far from the kingdom." We didn't preach to her that Jesus loves you. You are a sinner. Repent. You are a Muslim. Come out of Islam. No. But we played our small bit in the whole process. She can identify, she can relate to us. Although she knows that we are Christians, we are servants of the Lord, but she can relate to us. She feels safe when she's with us. She can open up and say things that even she's unable to tell her lawyer. The action spoke louder than the gospel we could preach to her. Bringing her to church, it won't be a problem. But we don't want to rush into that. We want the Lord to add her to our number by saving her first where she is. So how are we going to win people if we don't become like one of them? We can even do a survey. Try to understand people that we want to reach out to. We can improvise some visits. I'm a Christian, I live here. I just want to pay you a visit and just have a friendly chat. Are there things that you are struggling with? Are there situations? How is life here where you're living?
The Lord will give you wisdom. Surely He will give you wisdom. Don't rush into it like a soldier. Repent now. Repent. No. Take your time. Identify yourself to the person. Make the person to relate to you. To the Jews, Apostle Paul became like a Jew. To the Greeks, he became like a Greek. To the Romans, he became like a Roman, aiming to save each and every one of them. Maybe we are busy, very preoccupied by our own businesses. We are unable to create a time for others. Unable to create time to give our time to others. This is the call the Lord is giving today through what Apostle Paul is saying. Imitate me as I am also imitating Christ. Christ came with one mission, to seek and save the lost. He was not in any rush. He took his time for 30 years, silence, without rushing into anything. As you read at the younger age, was he 7 or 12? He stood in front of those who were supposedly intelligent, who knew the Torah, who knew scriptures, and he amazed them. He amazed them. It shows that he had potential, he had everything to start the ministry, but he took time. All that period make him himself like those he were meant to serve. They didn't point at him that you are an alien, everything you're doing, you came just from heaven, and you are able to do that. No. They could point at him that, isn't he the son of Joseph and Mary? Meaning, isn't he just like us? As I was saying about my pastor, time to time he picks his phone and calls me just to know how I'm doing. Go out there, meet bishops, and inquire if they can call you, member in the church. No, forget about that. It can happen. Because by picking his phone and call you, it's as if he's putting himself down. They try to remain in that position. Pastors, they try to remain in that position. Supernatural. Apostle, prophet, and so on. They don't want to identify themselves even to those that they are leading. He can't laugh with you the way here we see our leaders coming to you, share bread with you. You give him the bread, he won't mind where your hands have been or what. He take putting his mouth in your presence and eat. Huh? No. No. That's what Christ did. That's what Apostle Paul did. Becoming everything to everybody. Just when we're sharing the bread, Pastor Charles could not hold himself. He said, when I go back home, I'm going to teach my church members, and we'll do it like this. This is what the Bible is asking us to do. Praise the Lord. It shows that oneness, that unity. No one can disperse other. That since it's you, I will take it. No. No one is saying there are many germs out there. No. We are eating in God's presence. And everything that we are eating in God's presence is sanctified by the Lord. It's holy. And it's showing that, yes, we are one. We love one another. You never know the hug you give into your brother, your sister, what it can create. You never know. May the Lord help us. The aim of Paul, as mentioned, was to win and to save the Lord. But to save them from what? This is an important question to ask. And the answer is there. In John chapter 3, verse 36, the Bible says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." In Romans 5, verse 9, "Much more then, having now been justified by the blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him." And finally, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, the verse continues saying, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come." Well, here where theologians hit each other with a lot of theology, philosophy. We are in a time of grace. It is completely wrong to mention the wrath of God. And others say, no, such a thing like the wrath of God does not exist. Because he's the loving God. Like this man, I was preaching to him and he told me, "Do you think that even if I don't believe in what you're saying, even if I don't follow Jesus, do you really think that God will destroy everything?" No. He's a good God. Do you see all these beautiful buildings? Do you think God is so cruel to destroy all these beautiful buildings? And I say, you better read the Bible. You better read the Bible. He has done that before. Yes, of course, the message we have is the message of love. The love of God is that love which delivers all people. It doesn't matter where they have been. In the car, Pastor Charles told me about this pastor who is in Coventry. He's from Burundi. They went to school together and the guy was really a mocker. He was mocking God and everything. But in due time, the Lord saved him. And everybody can see the grace of God in this man of God. And he mentioned saying, it doesn't matter when the Lord meets you, when he calls you. All of us, we have been through things that we may be ashamed to mention here. We cannot talk about them in public. But the love of God came to us where we were, in our dirtiness, in all those mess we were in, and the love of God, through Jesus Christ, pulled us from all those mess, and Here we are, raising our hands and praising Him. Without any fear that God will look at us and point at us and, you have been doing this in your life, you did this and that. No, He won't do that. He forgives and forgets. He wipes away. Because the blood of Jesus is so powerful to clean all our sins. However, we have to put some balance in it. That loving God, He is the Lord who is just as well. He made us and He wants us to be saved and to be saved. And here is the blueprint. The Bible clearly is saying that he who believes in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ, he has everlasting life. It's not for us to choose what to believe in for us to be saved. And also here, the Bible is not mentioning a religion, that he who believes in Christianity will be saved. Or he who believes in the Roman Catholic Church, or in the Pentecostal Church, the Baptist, or the Methodist Church will be saved. No. He who believes in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ, will get everlasting life. It's simple as that. And the one who refused to believe in him, those in our families, those in our workplace, the schools, our neighborhoods, in this city where we are, he who refused to believe in the Son of God, he's lost. And what will happen? But the wrath of God, we remain with that person. He's doomed. Now imagine that we know the right way people have to follow to be saved from the wrath of God, and we choose to keep silence. Because the culture today is telling us to mind our own business and not to step on somebody's toe. But I believe that saving people from the wrath of God, it's my business as a Christian. Because if other Christians before me did not pray for me, did not reach out to me with the saving message of the Lord, then I could be up to now in my sinful life. The minister who came here and brought CDs of this guy in America who's reaching out to many people, who drug addict, and can't remember his name. Yes. I was listening to one of his messages and watching the DVDs. I was deeply touched and impacted to see the popularity the guy has today. He could just say, okay, I'm there. I have money. I have popularity. But up to this day, he's still following them people where they are. On the street. Some of them even were injecting drugs in his presence. He was patient with them, knowing that it's not by might, but only the Spirit of God can touch those people and save them. Because if he leaves them and he refuses to reach out to them, maybe nobody else will reach out to them. Because many ministers are preoccupied now and obsessed by prosperity. You're going to visit Tony. What Tony will give to you? Nothing. But if we are passionate enough, like the way we show in love to him, we believe. One day, the Lord will do something in him. And that day, I believe, will come. And I thank God for his faithfulness to be here every Sunday. Praise the Lord. The wrath of God, beloved, is something real. It's something real. Unfortunately, some of our family members will face it. Some of our neighbors will face it. But my prayer is, let us be imitators of Apostle Paul, imitators of Christ, and do what the Lord is expecting us to do. Because leaving our family members just to leave this world without reaching out to them is being cruel. We are like murderers. We've seen people going into a deep, deep danger, and we say, okay, it's not my business. Do whatever you want to do. Yes, the wrath of God is real. But when we present in the message, we don't have be like people who are condemning people. Like us, we have reached. We are the saint. And you are lost. No. We have to go to them humbly and present the love of God. And that's where the challenge now is, because when you identify yourself to that person who maybe is very, very lower compared to you, then you won't bring condemnation to the person because you are identifying yourself to the person. You will speak to the person with much love. And the person can see in you that this is real. This is real. Praise the Lord. The grace of God versus justice. This is a quotation from this person saying, "For many today, the good news of Jesus Christ is conceived almost entirely as another strategy to handle psychological and economical needs, such as depression, grief, abandonment, loneliness, anger, low esteem, fear, sickness, poverty, etc., etc. Although the gospel does have an impact on all those things, but that is not what makes it the gospel." May the Lord help us. Of course, all these are in the package. And I thank God to see the kind of focus here we have. We're praying for the sick. We're meeting needs of those who are in need. We're comforting one another. It's really brilliant. It's fantastic. And we're focusing on teachings. Because if the gospel was only about responding to the altar call that, yes, I received Jesus, we make them say a prayer, he said a prayer, and we don't disciple them with teachings, then they won't stand when the heat will come. I was sent an email by a friend asking me to pray for my country. In that email is one of the ladies. She was a gospel singer. The group in which she were was one of the prolific groups. And I believe that she was there serving the Lord, but she didn't have the chance to be discipled. Although before starting singing, she said, "Yes, I receive you. I believe in you, Jesus." But nobody cared to disciple the person. Now, she has left the church. She's singing in a secular group. And the picture they sent to me were taken in Uganda, where she had a concert. Auntie Zina, can all the children face there, please? Yes. Yes. All the kids. In meantime, this verse is saying, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whether you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense, either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. We have a big challenge. We know the culture in which we are today, and how many of us are doing the work of God. Many have gone astray from what they are ought to do. They are seeking their own profit. I was talking with Bishop this morning about these friends who called him to preach, but not really because he needs people to be saved and edified in the church, but because he's seeking something from Bishop. And that is called dishonesty. Shall we call it spiritual dishonesty? Using the gospel, seeking own profit, saying A while we're thinking B. My point now in this conclusion is that if me and you, we don't stand and reach out to the lost, win them to the Lord, get them saved, and disciple them for them to be grounded in the Lord, maybe nobody else will do. Maybe nobody else will do it. Here's the pictures of this gospel singer. This lady, she was singing in the church. I know these pictures are shocking you. I'm obliged to show them to you. Not with the purpose to shock you, but with the purpose to tell you, if you don't stand up, make today the decision to stand up, reach out to the lost. These people who have been in the church and who are out there are taking many to hell with them. They are taking many to hell with them. I have no comment. Finally, you've seen all. No, in a concert in Uganda,
recently. Emmanuel's cousin, who lives in Uganda, was in that concert. And he said that she blew people. She really blew them all. In that atmosphere, I wonder what all those people who were there, they went to do, leaving the concert. But my shock is that she was one of us, singing in different churches, but did not have the time to be grounded. You understand why every Wednesday we call in here for Bible study. Coming just to church on Sunday is not enough. If you can, commit yourself on Wednesdays. If you can, commit yourself. Know your Bible and be very intimate to the Lord. The wrath of God abides with a person like this one. She's just one of many. Are we condemning her? No. We don't know what happened, how she founded herself in church, and what made her to leave the church, and what is making her to do things in public like this. It's a reality, a sad reality. These pictures are not fact, because we have a testimony. A family member who were there in that concert. We have a task, but we have to choose today. The anointing of the Lord is ever available. And even now, He's ready to pour that anointing on me and you for us to go out there and reach out to our family members. Win them. Get them saved from their wrath to come. We won't take a message of condemnation. We'll talk about the grace of God, about the love of God, and get them saved. If Paul did it, you can do it. I can do it. If those who came to you, preached to you the gospel for you to be saved, did it, you can do it for your family members. You can do it for all the lost. Let's stand and pray. Can you say to the Lord that, here I am. Here I am, I'm willing to do your will. Of course, you might be going through a very difficult financial time. But don't worry. The Lord will take care of your bills. He will take care of your critical financial situation. He will take care of your critical social problem. But can you now say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Send me. Anoint me. Give me the power to reach out to the lost. Give me the passion. Give me the compassion for the lost. Every time I'm going to open my mouth to speak to them, Lord, let your love reach out to them. Touch them. Change them. Transform them. Don't let any member of my family to face the wrath to come. Can you commit yourself today to the Lord for all the lost in your family? All the lost where you live, all the lost where you walk in, all the lost in this city where the Lord has placed us. It's no longer time for
that wrong gospel where if you are addressing Africans, you just press the button for them to do all they can to catch up with the Europeans, bringing them the gospel of prosperity, of breakthrough, of greatness. Or if you're reaching out to Europeans, since you can't bring that kind of gospel, you come with a gospel of antidepression dose and things like those. It's time to bring them the real gospel of Jesus, the love of God that can pull them out of. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Start addressing the Lord in your own word. Tell the Lord what you want Him to do for you today and now. If you want Him to use you to save others, to win others, please tell Him something. In that same verse we read, 5 times, Apostle Paul repeated himself, that I might win, that I might win, that I might win. In verse 23, then he changed, saying, that I might save as many as possible. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, as your people, here we are in your presence. When we look at our lifestyles, oh Lord, we can reproach ourselves many things, oh Lord, compared to the way, oh Lord Jesus, you live your life here as our role model. You were not looking for your own interest, for your own profit. Paul imitated you. He became your imitator, and he declares as well that he was not looking for his own profit, but for the profit of others, so that he might save as many as possible. Here we are in this generation that is mocking you because your love has not reached out to them. Things are changing everywhere, every time. The culture is changing and going far away from you. Shall we continue to keep silence? Shall we continue to avoid bringing your love to the lost? Father, we're stepping forth today, asking you, oh Lord, to accept us as your vessels today. To anoint us, O Lord. To fill us, O Lord, with your power, with your anointing, with the compassion that will drive us, O Lord. As we heard, your servant could not sleep for some reasons. He took the time praying for us. Lord, those nights that you won't allow us to sleep, cause us, oh Father, instead of standing, sitting in front of the telly and flipping one channel to another, but to spend those nights pouring our heart for the lost who are in our families, for the lost who are in this world where we live in, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, help us to identify ourselves with the lost, not offending them, and not offending the church as well, doing things that you are not accepting under the cover of being one of those people. But Father, with holiness, in righteousness, to identify ourselves with them and to win them to you, to save them from the wrath to come, to bring them your love, oh Lord, which will be the answer to many questions they have in their lives. Here we are, Lord. Pour your anointing. Pour your anointing, Lord. Empower us today. So that by leaving this church building, Lord, we live here on fire to reach out to all those who are lost. Help us, Lord. This is your time. And we are your vessel. Empty and available. Fill us, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Fill us afresh, Lord. Fill us afresh, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If some voices can be raised to the Lord and say something to Him, feel free, my brother, my sister. Two or three people, if you can raise your voice and say something to the Lord. Thank you.